Get ready to simplify your life with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. Stay connected wherever you go and transform your vehicle into a dependable Wi-Fi hotspot. Powering applications like real-time GPS and voice assistant, navigation becomes a breeze. Plus, with Wi-Fi for up to 10 devices, you can keep everyone entertained while on the road. Work, stream shows, or finish homework without missing a beat. Discover the convenience for yourself and see if you're eligible for a free trial at att.com/in-car Wi-Fi. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicles and operation compatible device and vehicle require. In a recent study by the Harris Poll on behalf of Express Employment Professionals, 71% of hiring decision makers are willing to hire contingent workers to meet their business needs. But more than half of those hiring expect to face challenges in finding qualified candidates. Express Employment Professionals is here to make hiring easier. Express is in the business of recruiting talent. Discover for yourself how working with the workforce experts can solve your hiring challenges. Visit expresspros.com for a location near you. Summer is coming and that means vacation. But if you are a parent, you know how fast your kids grow. And that means nothing from last summer will fit. And we need to get the kids new summer clothes. Well, if you're looking for summer clothes for the kids like me, you are in luck. Macy's Friends and Family Sale is coming. And trust me, you don't want to miss it. Get an extra 30% off brands that almost never go on sale, like Levi's, Calvin Klein, Tommy Hilfiger, Nike, Gap, Hotel Collection, Lego, and more. And 15% off beauty, makeup, and more. Plus free shipping when you spend $25. April 25th to May 5th, Macy's.com and in store. Discover the rich, smooth taste of matcha love made with Japanese green tea and real matcha. There are so many culinary treats to create with this precious powder that go beyond the traditional tea ceremony. Everything from lattes to baked goods to smoothies, experience the vitality of the whole tea leaf. Matcha is vibrant in taste and full of powerful health benefits. Get 25% off all matcha love products on Etoan.com using code JANA. That's code J-A-N-A. At itoen.com, available on Amazon and itoen.com.
Wind Down with Jana Kramer, an iHeartRadio podcast.
How excited are you, Mike, to have another dude in the studio?
I'm so excited. There's usually way too much estrogen going on in here.
Do you need...
Besides, I got Mark and Easton.
Wow. Well, I know, but usually, you know, we're interviewing... you know, women, and then we're talking about our menstrual cycle, and then we're talking about
IVF
and all these things. And now we actually have a male guest here for you.
I love it.
Today.
Is this just for me?
No, we're excited cool. to have him in. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Eric Winters.
All right.
Hello.
Hello. Hi.
Some big topics you guys talk about.
Well, we talk about everything. Michael and I usually start the show with like our fight of the week. You know, how long have you been married for?
Oh, this next month is 10 years.
10 years. So
13 together.
Rosalind Sanchez.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Where'd you guys meet at?
She hates when I tell the story. I
Great.
Say we met at a
Can't
club.
Wait for you to. Okay.
We met at an event that was at a club.
Okay. Which
so
club?
It's still a club. Yeah, I don't remember. I don't know the name of it or if it's even
Spider,
still around.
Or remember, they all changed.
When I was around,
it
was like Garden of Eden.
When I used to club, it was like Concord, mm-hmm. those ones, yeah.
Mood.
Back in the day. Oh, God. in the day.
So. We were at a Pioneer Speakers event that was at a club.
Okay.
And I hit on her. She was in a relationship, so it didn't go very well.
Great.
And then we didn't talk again for a bunch of months. And I stayed friends with a friend of hers that was there, mm-hmm. and we sort of reconnected down the road.
And then, so did you reach out again to her?
Never. That was it.
Oh, so then she reached out back to you.
She reached out
you.
To me. She also hates that side of the story, too.
She doesn't want to own that part.
Yeah, she says she had reasons because her friend was going through a tough time, and I was there for her friend, but I never reached out to her. She called me.
Oh, so
13 years
like,
later
by
together.
By the way, I'm not, I think every girl's done that. Like, if a guy, like, hits on her and then... when they break up.
You try to downplay our situation every time, too.
Well, you actively went for me.
Wait, remind us of the story. Because Eric doesn't know.
No,
so.
Eric doesn't
yeah.
know.
We met, classic love story. We met on Twitter.
He was stalking me on Twitter and kept like favoriting things on Twitter. And
three things.
And I was having a 30s meal. I was drinking wine and having macaroni and cheese one lonely single night. And I was like, who is this guy favoriting my stuff? And I look and I was like, oh, he's got a blue check mark too. And I was like, oh, he's a football player. He's so cute. So then I followed him back. And then with like in a second, he's like, hi, thanks for the follow.
No. In a second. I strategically waited, you know, a good amount of time.
How long?
It was probably 30 minutes.
Yeah, that's at least 15 minutes.
Yeah, at least 15.
I was still
at 16 minutes, I was in there.
I was still eating my macaroni and cheese.
Yeah, you're a slow eater.
Yeah.
How is it with, you know, because she's Mexican, yeah?
Puerto Rican,
yeah. Okay. I mean, does that come into the relationship with the feistiness?
Oh, yeah. No, 1,000%. But
is it like too much at times?
No, I love it.
Or
I
mean, do you go, no, no, like, and you snap your fingers back and go all Puerto Rican?
Yeah, I get right back into the Latin flavor. You know, I grew up in La Puente here in Los Angeles, but I always dated, I did a lot of Latin. She knows the story. I did
you
a lot of Latinas
lot.
In my life.
Okay.
So I know Latin culture pretty well. Like, people always say I'm a frustrated Latino, that I'm. So, like, I totally vibe with Latin culture, and I love the spiciness and the flavor that they bring, you know, into a relationship, and everything, really. She's like that with everything. So I can roll with it pretty well.
And you have two kids?
Two kids, yeah. I have a six-year-old, almost seven in January, a little girl, and then I have a newborn, a boy, 11 months. Well, not really a newborn anymore, almost a year.
Oh, wow.
I'm really happy you guys talked about your struggle, because it's hard.
It's very hard.
And what I love about it, too, is we've done two rounds of IVF.
Yeah.
And the fact that you also gave the shots, because Michael would do the shots for me, too, because it's just not only, I mean, I saw that you, she said she didn't like needles, but with us, it was just it was together, because I felt so alone in the process, already feeling crappy about it, and then the hormones, and it's just something that we were able to do together.
100%.
So I think that was awesome that you...
We did it both rounds, together. You know, it wasn't easy. You know, you go through your life just going, don't get someone pregnant by mistake, right. You know, and then when it's time, you think it should be so easy. And it's just not.
Yeah.
And with our daughter, I remember.
Was it easy with your daughter?
No, it was our first in vitro. It happened on the first attempt.
Oh, that's great.
But we had done a bunch of, you know, AIs and stuff before that. And it was a struggle. But I remember I was doing a pilot in New York when she had to give her first injection, so I couldn't give those.
Oh, man.
But I had to, like, coach her on Skype how to mix everything. You know, you had to take some out of here, put some in there, shake it around, pull it out.
Not have the bubble in it.
Yeah, not have the bubble. And, like, I remember coaching her literally on Skype in my hotel room going, all right, you're going to be fine. She's melting down, you know. And thankfully, it took on the first. And then we tried again. Natural for a while after a few years, and nothing was happening. And then we went back into in vitros, and it didn't happen right away this time. And we had one frozen that didn't take, and then we tried a couple more. And
so she had to get more eggs out.
Yeah,
that process is
That's a lot.
Yeah, this was our last go at it. This final in vitro, and we did something that she did a regular one first that didn't go right, and then this was like called, I'm trying to think of the name, but it was like a micro. They take smaller amounts in multiple sessions, and then you pool all those embryos together, and then you put them in, versus going for the big batch.
Right.
And whatever reason, we put in four, which I was freaking out.
Oh, my God.
I was like, oh, my God. But the guy was like, literally, you have a 15% chance of having one of the four.
Oh, wow.
And twins was like an 8% chance. I still thought I would get twins, but luckily we got one.
Well, that's...
15%
chance. It's just so crazy, like, truly how hard it is. Because we had four miscarriages before we actually got pregnant with our now baby boy in the belly. But
this is the first?
The second. So we have a 3-year-old, and then I'm a couple weeks away from birth. Wow. So
yeah, we're about a month away. You know, it's interesting though. Even the in vitro, when we went through it, both of our children have been conceived naturally, but they both came right after
a failed IVF.
Oh. We would get pregnant naturally. So it's like Jana's system just needed a little bit extra, like, you know, progesterone or hormones or something that would kickstart her system.
And I guess that happens quite often. I mean, we had heard that too, that it can happen naturally, either coming off of an in vitro or once you do it once, the next one can come naturally.
Yeah. Right. So I always say to people, like, if you just did an in vitro and it didn't work, like, just try on the next round naturally, because it's happened both times for us. So
we kept hearing these stories of people that tried, did everything in vitro, all these things, nothing was working. Then they go to adopt, and we had somebody that went to adopt and actually picked up the child from the adoption and found out they were pregnant.
Oh my God.
Naturally.
I love that.
So they had an adopted baby and she was pregnant.
It's usually it's just, because the pressure's
off. Yeah, the pressure comes off. Yeah. Right. Stress goes away, even though you don't think you're stressing.
So we didn't adopt a baby, but we would, every time the in vitro failed, we got a puppy. So every time we got a puppy, and then
miscarriage,
found out
we get a puppy.
Pregnant,
miscarriage, we get a puppy.
So we're like,
to a full house now.
we're actually driving home, not the same as a child, but driving home with our new puppy, and we found out the same day that Jana was pregnant. So
we're like,
oh,
okay.
Congrats, guys.
So how was the hormones for her? Because the hormones, they're so crazy.
There's no easy way around it. I mean, you end up, being married to the Incredible Hulk for a bit. You ladies are going through a lot. And what's wild, and we talked about this even in one of our interviews, I think, on People, is it's incredibly hard on the woman. It's just tough on the marriage. It's tough on the guy. It's tough on everyone because we're all involved in this process. And it's so brutal for you guys physically, and we can't do anything to help you.
Mm-hmm. And you don't know the hormones.
And we don't know the hormones. Yeah. You seem fine on the outside, but on the inside, you're, losing it because you're going through so much and all the hormone levels are all over the place. So it's just tough.
Did you ever find yourself in the process being like, I don't even want to do this anymore?
Oh, yeah. No, multiple times. And I'm an only child, so it's a little different. She has three brothers, so I was fine with one. Mm-hmm. It didn't take. I was like, we're good. We got one healthy child. I'm happy. Thank God. Let's move on with this chapter, She really wanted to keep putting herself through it, and so I was supportive of it because it's what she wanted.
Right.
But it was tough.
Did you look at the marriage too and say, or is it just
kids? Just the kids.
All
right.
So you were solid in that.
Yeah, we were solid. I mean, you go through struggles, like,
of course,
even without in vitro work, arguing about things. But no, we were solid there. But it was just you have to reflect on it all and go, okay, this is temporary. We're arguing about this and this, or you can't control this argument because hormonally, you're all over the place, or whatever. We had to kind of balance it.
Yeah, it's interesting. I was just talking to a buddy of mine who's starting to go through this process too. And Eric, you might relate to this, where I was kind of giving him some advice because they're about to start this process, and it is hard on the guy. Mm-hmm. And obviously, all the attention and all the pressure is on the woman, which you feel very compassionate, a lot of empathy for. But what I found out, and through this, the last time Jana and I did it, but was by sharing kind of my feelings of anxiety or stress or pressure or sadness through all this and empathy towards her, she didn't feel as alone because she felt like she wasn't alone in those feelings. So was that something, did you talk to Rosalind and say, hey, I'm feeling this way too, so you don't feel alone? Or is it something, did you still try to stay tough and not really express that?
Yeah, no, I'm a big, big communicator with everything. I don't usually hide much or hold stuff in. I just kind of let it all out. And that was, that would be part of it. I would voice things just like you're saying. It would give her a better understanding a bit because, if I wasn't saying it, she would try to figure out why I'm going through whatever I'm going through.
Right.
And it helped, it helped talking through a lot of it.
Good. I mean, I want to get to all the things that you're doing, but I'm very intrigued on the marriage side of things, obviously. What is y'all's biggest issue?
In general?
Yeah, in your marriage. If there's one thing that you could pinpoint, I would say for us right now, one of our big issues is we're having a hard time tabling things. We're having a hard time with, stopping an argument before it goes too far.
Yeah, that's always tough, right?
Two strong personalities, stubborn personalities.
Want to have our voices heard.
Yes, and we're like that too. We don't have a true alpha beta. Like we're both.
Which is so funny because I said to him, I was like, I bet you she's the man in the relationship. Not to like nothing. She's such a strong
woman. Wow.
She says what she's, says what she thinks, Eric.
He's definitely the mouse.
From the outside looking in, because she's, the Latina. I always just imagine, you're probably just the yes dear.
It'd be probably a lot easier.
It'd be probably a lot happier.
But he's an only child. There's no way he's like going down, right?
No, I'm very type. And I remember we had this talk early on when we were dating. I was like, look, here's the deal. We're both type A's. Uh-huh. Somebody has to give. And I know you always feel like I'm a strong, independent woman. No man's going to tell me what to do. I said, okay, I get it. But at the end of the day, you're going to have to. So you're going to have to step aside and be the B at some point, and I'm going to have to do it at some point. Mm-hmm. We both have to take a step back and be the submissive one at some point. If two people are always trying to be heard, mm-hmm. You're never going to. It's compromise. That's what every marriage is built on. Yep. Well, compromise is different. No, it's not. Like, when you compromise, you've taken the step back. You're now the beta in that situation. When you don't compromise, you're both going to be alphas. You're never going to resolve anything.
Right.
Or else go find yourself a beta, and then you'll be like, oh, now they're right. always submissive, and I'm bored.
Bored.
Yeah, exactly.
They do everything I want.
That sounds
I'm bored.
So boring.
You know? That's the thing.
Yeah.
I think that's why Jana and I were able to have been able to make it work is because we were that way when we first met, too, where I gave it back to her. You know what I mean? And so I did come to Eric's defense before I even met him. I said, well, she thought maybe you're the mouse. And I said, no, he's probably just a strong, confident kind that can handle that personality.
Yeah.
You know, because I know understand.
You were right, honey. I'll give you that.
I'll take that.
By the way, all the years you were right between, you get.
Even if it's about this, I'll take it.
I know. How, all yours.
So you guys are celebrating 10 years next month.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I hear this a lot kind of with Jana being in the business and the entertainment world. And, oh, that's a long time for Hollywood. I think that's a long time for any marriage.
It is.
Do you get, when you look at your marriage, do you consider it, oh, like, this is long for Hollywood, or it's just, hey, this is just our marriage separate of whatever else that we do?
Oh, yeah. I'm very much, both of us, thankfully, I think at the stage in our lives where we got together was the right time. Had mm-hmm. we met when we were young, we were both married and divorced before we met.
Oh, wow. How long were you married before?
I was married three years.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it was 3 years. Yeah,
just
it was 3 years.
Just didn't work too young.
Just didn't work. We were very young. I got married at 25.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, and she also got married relatively young, too. But we say, like, we're both very, I'd say Hollywood removed, if you will. Like, I mean, we work in the business. We do the business. I'm from L.A. Like, nothing really surprises me about the business. And I didn't, like, want to be an actor my whole life. That wasn't my thing. I was a psychobio major at UCLA. I wanted to be a doctor.
Wow.
And I sort of, different ways, fell into this business. And then started studying it and taking it serious.
Right.
So maybe that's part of the reason why I'm not so, it's a Hollywood marriage or whatever. I just, it's marriage and you got to fight to make things work. And it's one of the, I don't ever say it's a job, but it is a job. It's one of the mm-hmm. toughest things you will ever
work every
yeah,
single
you
day.
You ever put your efforts into is a marriage and kids is the other thing. Like it's full time. You have to be committed to it. You have to work at it. It's that you can't take it for granted. You want to be the best you can be at anything. You know, you're an athlete. You got to work,
yep.
you know, and that's it.
Do you believe in therapy?
100%. I have my psych degree, so I'm fully supportive
true.
Of
therapy. Yeah, we love therapy.
Yeah, talking things out. If it takes someone else being in the room, and as long as it's a good therapist that can handle both sides of the story, because I can't. I'm like, wait, stop.
Yeah.
You know,
how do you guys deal with? Because I mean, you guys are both very good looking. So has that been tough too with the people that have tried to maybe come in and?
Yeah, in this business, it's hard in general because no matter how you. I mean, we are given, you know, freedom to kiss somebody on a set on a regular basis all the time. The boundaries are broke mm-hmm. when you go in, even though it's acting and you're mm-hmm. not supposed to be doing
well,
whatever.
And you're spending a lot of time together, too, on the breaks.
It can be 12 hours during a day. You're sitting mm-hmm. on set. You become you get to know the people. You know, they're cool. And
they
then,
look charming. They don't have issues.
Yeah.
They're sweet. Yeah.
You know, it's like it's
best versions of themselves.
Yeah.
100%. Yeah. It's the Instagram brand.
Right. Yeah. Right. You see all day.
There's a filter.
Oh, this could be great.
100%. And then you're, you know, breaking this wall that you normally would never do in life, and you're now kissing the person because it's in your scene. So that
and you're
of,
like, did I just feel something? Or yeah.
So you've got to balance, right? Like what all that is, and you are acting. And at the end of the day, sure. I mean, there are people that try to get in the middle of stuff. We've had it early in our relationship where someone, you know, tried to, you know, hit on her, or hit on me, you know, whatever, and you kind of just have to nip it in the bud right away and mm-hmm. make your place known where you are, and they, you know, usually go away.
Right.
Yeah, I think that's important too. And just setting, you know, we've always said things. You can put yourself in the bad situation. So it's, hey, maybe you shouldn't read lines in the hotel room. Maybe you shouldn't
Probably
read
not.
Lines in the trailer. You know, but
with a drink.
In my early 20s, though, I would flirt with that line because it's like, oh yeah, just come over to my room and we'll have a glass of wine and read lines. And you're like, wait, this is. Now you've just invited trouble into your setting.
Well, by the way, if you're single,
I mean,
if you're single, that's
more
the perk
power
of it.
To you. Yeah. I run lines in my hotel room and have a drink.
At the time, but yeah,
why not?
Like, what? If you're single,
don't say no to that.
You want to run into your room? Sure.
Right, but yeah, most likely the chances I probably wasn't single at the time. But it's about knowing your boundaries and keeping them healthy.
100%.
But it's so hard in this day and age when everyone's very pretty and things look nice when you don't know the real crap underneath everybody's.
Yeah, if you're not single, you got to try and keep yourself out of any possible temptation or situation that could go sideways or mislead somebody.
Mm-hmm. You know, something we haven't really had to deal with yet.
What?
The boundaries around, like, the whole acting.
That's not
and,
true, because I've done a couple movies.
Yeah, but it's been, you know, a Hallmark kiss.
Big difference.
Big difference.
Like a gritty independent monster's ball.
Right. Little
HBO.
Different.
Yeah.
When I see that, I'm like, oh, that's cute. Like,
and you've known the guys too that I've like.
Yeah, and I come on set and I get to know the guys and I'm like, right. Yeah, it's great. I like this guy. Like,
and Kevin, like one of my guys that have been like my love husband in my past movies, like he'll come stay with us. Like,
yeah, it's fantastic. But that's going to be interesting when you get back into something like that. It's like, hey, honey. This is
bulk,
my scene.
Bulk
what?
Sex scene.
Yeah.
Well, again, you've had those scenes too. It's there's so many people. It's not like that.
Yeah.
It's so not sexy, and which I've always kind of tried to tell him too. I'm like, it's not
definitely
sexy,
not a comfortable environment. But
no, like no one wants to be in their underwear. You know, even when I was in my underwear making out with Stephen Coletti on Winter Hill, I was like, I didn't feel anything because Stephen, but it just didn't like, it's just like there's people there, you know?
But you guys are in that world. I'm just a guy. I'm an athlete.
This is what I'll say for you. On the outside. In the world, I don't find it still easy or comfortable. Mm-hmm. My wife is way better with that stuff than I am. Like, I won't watch her do love scenes. We produced a movie together for Lifetime and she had this big love scene. I left and I was on set every single day. I didn't stay on set for that. I didn't want to watch it. When she does it and I have to see it, like if it's on TV, I don't even watch a kiss. I don't like it.
Yeah.
I'd prefer to turn the other way and just not have to see it all the time. She has no problem watching it if I do it. Like, she's fine. She's like, oh, it's acting. Whatever. I don't care. I don't think she likes it, but, you know,
she understands
can tolerate it.
Right.
It's still to this day, it's not easy for me.
That's how I would be.
Never watch you do it. Well, obviously because of our issues.
Our
and
history.
Stuff. Our history is a little rocky for that, but I could never.
No.
Ever.
I'm never going to be an actor. So. I don't know. Eric didn't plan on being one either.
Yeah.
Look at him now.
No, so. You're not. I'm sorry. I cannot.
Sign me up.
No, not happening. So, okay.
Running Lions Hotel.
No, not happening.
Babe, what do I do?
You know.
She'd be there with me.
So let's go into the acting because I'm starting to get a little warm and heated right now.
We're getting fiery.
Okay, so I'm loving this conversation, but I have to tell you guys about Brooklinen. I always say that you spend, half your life in bed? More than half your life in bed. So you need to have a good mattress, but also the sheets are so important. And I know Mike is always super, super, you're like very finicky with your sheets.
Very picky.
So when I told him that we had some new sheets coming into our collection, he's like, oh, no. And I was like, telling you. I was like, these are amazing. They're the winner of the best of online bedding category by Good Housekeeping. Brooklinen is so sure you'll love your new sheets that they offer a risk-free 60-night satisfaction guarantee and a lifetime warranty on all of their sheets and comforters. I mean, they're so incredibly comfortable. I love it also, too, because it was founded by a husband and a wife, so I love that. But their mission is to bring 5-star hotel quality sheets to everyday life. And this is a little tip, too. Luxury sheets without the luxury markup. So most bedding is marked up as much as 300%. So to me, that's crazy. Get $20 off and free shipping when you use promo code Jana at brooklinen.com. The only way to get $20 off and free shipping is to use promo code Jana at brooklinen.com. That's brooklinen.com, promo code Jana. These really are the best sheets ever.
Okay, it's that time again. Jana got another FabFitFun box to the house.
I was out of town, and I was like, hey, honey, can you please open some of the boxes? And he was like, oh, well, here's your FabFitFun box. And I was like, yeah, I know. Open it, please.
Yeah, and she wanted me to go into the box, take out all the products, which I was, you know, reluctant to do. But then I go in, and we're, like, FaceTiming, and I'm like, ooh, ah. Like, even I was getting excited over stuff.
The entire time.
Yeah. Because it was two Glam Glow masks that we both use, which are fantastic. I will admit that. Sorry, guys. Then the sleep mask, which you're like, I don't know if I'll use. And I was like, wait, it has like rice or beans in it that you can heat up and put on your eyes for like your sinuses. So again,
is this box for me or is this box for you?
It kind of turned into
it really did to
mine, but it's fantastic. And for those of you, just to remind you, FabFitFun is a seasonal subscription box delivered 4 times a year with full size fashion, beauty, home, fitness, and wellness products for just $49.99 a box. Again, full size, not samples. Okay, this isn't the little sample section at CVS or anything like that. Like, you're getting the full thing.
The checkout line at Sephora.
Yeah, not happening. Yeah, this isn't travel size. This is the full stuff. Okay, you can sign up for FabFitFun today. FabFitFun boxes are amazing and always sell out.
Use Jana's code, Jana, to get $10 off your first box. Go to fatfitfun.com to sign up and start getting the box for a life well lived. Use promo code Jana to get $10 off your first box. That's over $200 for only $39.99. Go to fatfitfun.com and use code Jana to get $10 off your first FabFitFun box.
And actually, it was fun opening it up with you.
Actually, it was fun.
I know, right?
I enjoyed it. Usually, I just like, all right, this is Jana. She can take it. But I was like, okay.
And I think it's something, too, that the husbands can get a, you know, you could sign that up for your wife and just, it'll show up at the door and you'd be like, well, I didn't order a FabFitFun. But the husband could say, but I did it for you, honey.
Ooh. Ooh. Well played. Well played, sir.
I like it. All right, Eric. So
you're on Rookie.
I'm on The Rookie.
You just had a huge premiere with The Rookie.
Yes.
How stoked were you to get that role?
Well, I will say this was a role I had to really fight for, and it's interesting because my last pilot before this was the same group of people, same director. It was Mark Gordon, same everybody.
You had to have felt pretty good then walking in for your test, or did you not?
No,
test
I had
offered?
To go through the whole thing, and it was brutal because I was meeting with that casting office I know really well, and I was like, oh my god, shoots in L.A. I know the whole group. Like, where's my offer? This is perfect for me. And they're like, nope, you're too nice of a guy. You're not this guy. And I was like, it's acting. You want to see my reel? Like, I just did The Good Doctor.
And
I got,
I'm sorry, they don't know you at all. You're an absolute ass.
That's Amy Sugarman, everybody, who I've known for far too long.
We all say that.
So I was told, oh, look it.
What?
Oh, yeah, there it is. Yeah.
Rookie, that's a good sign.
There's a TV on in the studio.
That is. That's
a
really good
sign. The Rookie is a
hit. Surefire hit. So
must watch.
They told me I had to go in. They didn't believe I could be this much of a jerk. Mm-hmm. And I took it so personally. And I was just so.
You were such a dick to them.
I was, oh my God.
That's awesome.
I went in. Had probably the best read of my career, maybe. Like, it was like where the whole environment changed in the room and all the air went away. And it was just this crazy intense moment. I had to get emotional in the second scene. And I was like, tears and all this stuff. And I was cursing at one of the producers. Like, what do you want from me? I got that. There you go. I was just an ass the entire time in the room. I knew everybody in the room, didn't say hi to anybody. I walked out and they all freaked out and came running out after me. I was like, Eric, are you okay? I was like, I'm fine. It's acting.
You're welcome.
I love it.
And it was so, it was just like one of the best moments I've ever had in the business outside of Viva Laughlin Test. That was the other one. Those are my two favorite moments in the business. And then I still had to go through. They wouldn't give it to me off of tape because Nathan still had to approve me. So I still had to go test for Nathan to see me. Thankfully, I kept, you know, doing my thing every step of the way. And when I finally got it, it was the best feeling ever. So this job, this role is a very, personal.
And you did ride-alongs, too.
I've done three ride-alongs.
What, was there anything crazy that happened during ride-along?
I had one. Both times before that, I was in Rampart, which is a very tough division, and nothing really went down. And then this one ride-along, I was with Liz Freelander, the director.
Okay.
And we had a moment where... with the guy, there was like this big corporate party gang night this night. Like, this gang celebrates their gang on this night. And they usually party it up early and then they head into Hollywood and then they tear up Hollywood and they come back and cause problems. So it was kind of a slow night and the gang unit's off. And the guy riding with us, the sergeant, says, hey, I want to take you down the street. This is a big gang street so you can see what's going on. And we happen to go down and the cars are, you know, parked normal. And then as you get a little further, they're double parked. Mm. And then we start going, this is weird. And we ended up coming on one of the, you know, houses they know is a gang house. And there was probably 100 gang members standing in the street with drinks in the house, out of the house.
Oh, my God.
And the sergeant rolls down his window and decides to flex in the moment. And I'm in the back seat, not bulletproof doors. The director's in the front seat. She has a bulletproof door. The backs aren't, just so you know. And he goes, hey, what's up with all you guys double parked? And I'm like, who cares, right?
Yeah, let's
like,
go. I'm
double parked. And he's like, I need you all moving your cars or I'm coming back in 15 minutes with my boys. And you see all these gang members posture because it's a whole posture thing, right?
Right.
You know, hands start going towards, they all start posturing and the air, I mean, it's one of those moments again where the air comes out of the car and you just feel still. And I just thought, this is really bad. Like at any moment, if they decide, someone decides to earn a stripe and be a hotshot, it's one cop and two civilians. And then we go to turn to leave, and another car of gang members comes up, and we get blocked.
Mm.
So now we can't even move. So it's a matter of who's going to let who out.
I'm so stressed.
And the cop pulls his gun and has it low against the door at the window, just in case. So when we see that, now we also know he's not comfortable in the situation. And I'm dying going, if bullets start flying, I'm dead. I'm
in the
back.
I had the best role ever. Yeah. I could have been so good.
And now I can't play it. You don't know what I went through in this audition.
This is my Emmy.
I could have been so good.
It was crazy. And so little by little, they inched away. They let us pull out.
Wow.
And within 5 minutes, so this guy's on the phone immediately, on the radio, on his cell phone, calling every division. Within 5 minutes, there's like 30 cops at a Church's Chicken at 11 o'clock at night. And they all start getting stuff out saying how we're going to go infiltrate the gang house and make them all go home. And so the director and I are like, should we be doing this right now? But then part of us are like, yeah. Yeah. Can we get a selfie really quick?
Yeah.
It's a good
moment.
We start planning the whole thing and it goes on. And then the airship flies over and these dudes left. They all move their cars. So we never got to go bust the gang up.
And they went home?
No, they went to Hollywood. They went at the club and caused problems like they do.
I mean, that's very nice so that they move. So.
Yeah. You know. They listened to the guy.
Good job, gang.
Yes. Thanks.
Good on you, gang.
That's fascinating.
But it was a moment where I was like, this is bad.
Wow. Is there
that's
a lot
scary.
Is there paperwork involved with that, with like liability and everything?
No, because nothing ended up happening. Like if something would have happened or if bullets would have
been. But even to do the ride along?
Oh, yeah. Nothing? Just signing that, you know, I can't sue if something like that goes sideways.
You wanted to be a cop. You still wanted
that's one of those things. Like if you look back in your life, like what would you, you know, want to be? Like that's one thing, law enforcement of some kind, ultimately FBI, but that's something I've always been passionate about.
Yeah, when he retired from football, he's like, I think I'm going to, you were going to go to a.
It's like an orientation.
You went to the orientation. Yeah. That's right. Yeah.
But then I told Jan I basically wanted to be on like the, what they call it there?
The narco?
Basically the squad that kind of like anything goes.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't remember what they called it in Tennessee, but Jan's like, yeah, no. I was like, well, then I don't want to do it.
No, I said if you're really passionate about that, but that would be.
You're like, we're trying to have a kid. You can't do that. All right.
That was my, I text Roz after that incident happened. I text her from the car. I'm like, you won't believe what she's like. You're an idiot. We have two kids. We just had a baby. You're an actor playing a cop.
Yeah.
This is real, honey.
Do you ever come home in your uniform?
No. I thought about it. I might have to do it this year for Halloween. Like if I'm working, I was like, I'm just going to roll straight from work. Vest, belt,
to
everything.
To the sidewalk.
Can I just be a real cop?
Tell us about your character. Because I'm pumped to watch. I told Janet, you know, I don't watch, honestly, many network TV shows. And then I saw it. Remember,
besides,
I was like.
We watched How to Get Away with Murder.
Yeah, besides like that.
We know that it aired October 16th. We've been traveling the past 2 weeks. Oh, so okay, it's DVR'd on. We're so ready to watch it because he has been really pumped to watch it. But no, what? Tell us more about your character.
So I'll preface this with saying the show is sort of like a Grey's Anatomy meets Hill Street Blues. It's a very character driven show, as our creator says, that sort of masquerades as a cop show. So it's not just about the cases. It is really a character piece of all of us and how we interact on duty, off duty, how our personal lives, you know, bleed into being a cop and how it affects your personal life, so to speak. So in that, I am this very militant, like tough, much of an ass training officer, a P3 that is in my rookie's face at all times, or anybody that is sort of on the department. And my whole way of being is if you want to be a cop and this is really what you want to be, if I can make you crack, if I can break you, you'll never be able to handle the street.
Mm.
And a lot of training officers do handle it that way. Like in the ride-alongs I've done, in the interviews I've done with these people and talked to them, everybody does it differently, but it's like that tough coach. Like I had tough coaches growing up that I hated, but they always made me better.
Yeah.
And I had ones that would give you the pat on the butt or the compliment here and there. I'm the guy that's never going to give you the pat. I'm never going to tell you you did a good job. You're just going to either know it by looking in my eyes or you're not. And he's that guy that makes you earn every second of it. And part of the reason that comes out in the pilot is my backstory. And you see, I have a wife that, I don't know how much I can say, but a wife that is struggling with addiction, and you meet her in the pilot and she comes back for more episodes, and it shows you sort of why she's the one person that gets to me and breaks me at all moments. And sort of,
what sets this show apart than the other cop shows out there?
I think a big part of it, you're going to fall in love with the characters.
Okay.
You know, versus if you were to watch any other procedural where it's about the case that keeps you going.
Right.
Yeah. Another cool thing is because we're a show that's on patrol, you get cases, but you get case after case after case. Like, you get a lot of cool cases happening all the time versus if it was an FBI show and it's one case for the whole episode.
Right.
So you get that action, that fun. We also have a lot of, with Nathan, he's such a charming guy, there's a lot of natural humor built into the show and a lot of heart. So I think people are going to fall in love with the characters, hopefully, whether you love them or you hate them.
Yeah.
And that's going to make you want to come back. And plus you get all this great, you know, cop adrenaline mm-hmm. action pack with it.
Well, thank you, Eric, so much for coming in. You guys can watch The Rookie, ABC's 10, 9 Central. Thank you so much for sharing all about your life.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Eric, thanks, man.
Appreciate it.
Bye, Eric.
I love Eric.
He's so handsome.
He's handsome.
I wasn't going to say it.
He
but
is.
Oh, I can say it for everybody.
You can say it. Yeah.
He's definitely my new bromance.
I feel bad that I said that he didn't wear the pants, though.
That's you. Like, you don't really come across politically correct in those kind of situations. Like, you basically want to say, oh, so you're, like, the little bee in the family.
Yeah, I know, but she's...
Okay, got it.
Well, she's so fiery, right?
But Rosalind has such a big personality.
Yeah.
So that's why I was like, of course, you know... He just does whatever she says. But
why, of course.
I don't know.
You know, it's funny. Jan and I were talking about kind of the you know, their relationship coming into it and like what mm-hmm. she just through, you know, word of mouth or whatever. And I told her, kind of like we said, we recapped with him earlier. And I was basically saying, well, yeah, maybe that's it. But also, what if he's just a type A also that's very confident in his skin? And
you were so right.
I was so right.
Yeah there can be two type A's.
I hit it. Yeah,
and
absolutely.
And they just turn it up.
I mean, that is a fiery household, though.
Yes.
I'd love to just
to be a fly on the wall.
Sexy.
I love it so much.
I feel like him and I have a lot of common in how we probably handle our type A fiery women.
I'm gonna disagree with you on that. I don't feel like I'm as fiery as I was.
No, because...
You've tamed the fire.
I've tamed the beast.
You're keeping
no, you know
it controlled.
Tamed, you know what's tamed the fire is therapy, and I want to talk to you guys about Talkspace. Because I think it is so cool. So today's show is sponsored by Talkspace. It's the online therapy company that lets you message a licensed therapist from anywhere at any time. So there's been so many times when I haven't been able to get in, you know, with my therapist, or honestly, I didn't have the money to pay for a full session. And I've had this question, or I needed help, or I had anxiety around something. Well, you can do that from anywhere. All you need is a computer with internet connection or the Talkspace mobile app. That means you can improve your mental health even if you've had trouble making time for it in the past. So I don't know. Honestly, I think that's incredible. The Talkspace platform has over 2,000 licensed therapists who are experienced in addressing The Talkspace platform has over 2,000 licensed therapists who are experienced in addressing life changes we all face. So to match with the perfect therapist for a fraction of the price of traditional therapy, go to Talkspace.com/Jana and use the code Jana to get $45 off your first month and show your support for the show. That's Jana and Talkspace.com/Jana. And you know who I know who would really, really, really love that app?
Who would love that app?
Is our amazing friend that is in studio, Mr. Nick Wooder.
Yeah.
Hey, guys.
And Catherine.
Well, I'm going to say, and you know who also is here is his wife.
Hello.
Catherine Wooder.
Yeah.
So Catherine and Nick are our besties. And how do I say this? Because I, Catherine's just like mean mugging me right now. I love their dynamic, and let me tell you why. Nick loves therapy. That's okay. That is Catherine's husband. A husband loves therapy, and Catherine does not love therapy. So the wife, and I just think that's such a fascinating dynamic.
Again, that's just a stereotype, essentially. But yes, naturally, as you know, people are in life, that's kind of how it is. It's usually the male, stereotypically, not as in touch with emotions and want to talk about feelings, and usually the woman is.
Can I just ask Catherine, is Nick asking you to go to therapy and you just don't want to go? Or is it just more, because I know you connect more with Mike about the whole, you're just not as emotional.
Yeah, I'm just not as an emotional person. I go to therapy with him. I just don't love it like he does. He's just a lot more emotional.
Right.
He's just the girl and I'm the guy.
And how does that feel to be called?
In this aspect.
Yeah, I'm criticizing myself though too. I'm not just saying.
It's time for me to have the mic.
No, I mean, Nick, go ahead. Defend yourself.
No, I'm naturally wired that way. A little more emotional, but I think I just like to talk. And so sitting down with somebody and getting things off your chest is just, it's therapy.
Right.
It's,
what do you think your biggest challenge is though? Not being able to, you know, with Catherine kind of not being as excited to go?
It's not a lot of challenge as far as getting her to go or opening up or anything like that. Once we get there, it's great. It serves its purpose. Mm-hmm. I was just told early in our relationship that good times, bad times, no matter what, go. Don't wait till you have an issue to deal with to go. Just keep that line of communication going at all times, and that's a good way to do it.
What do you contribute, you know, your feelings about just wanting to talk things out and be so communicative? Because, again, just through all the therapy Jana and I have done, you know, family of origin is a big part of those things. In my family, certain things weren't talked about, not just my biological parents, but my aunts, uncles, grandparents, and all that stuff. Is that something in your family that was always instilled, like you guys talk things out?
Yeah, we did. I grew up in a very tight-knit family that, as we've kind of learned going to therapy for years now, that we pick up things that we were raised with.
Right.
And there were a lot of things that I didn't realize growing up that have molded me who I am today. But I had such a great childhood that I always kind of went into it and everybody get upset with me because I was like, no, my childhood's great. Nothing went wrong. It was, dad told me he loved me. Mom was there. They were at every game. You know, it was perfect. But as you dive into it deeper, you realize that that kind of created some things that you deal with every day that maybe I hid or masked or what, because I felt like everything was so good.
What do you guys think? This is for both of you guys. Again, for Jana and I, we have like more anxiety around being parents because of all the therapy that we've done, knowing, like you just said, Nick, how your family of origin really structures you. What are you guys doing? Are you conscious about that when you're raising your three kids?
I think it's terrifying.
It is.
It's absolutely, because it was very obvious when we started therapy, like, let's go to therapy to figure out how to fix Catherine. Like, I had the very...
Is that really what you thought?
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, I had the very obvious family issues.
Like...
Very, like...
Your mom...
Me and my mom didn't have a good relationship. She had a drug problem. You know, all of those things. We are not emotional. Mm-hmm. We don't talk about a lot of things. So I felt that way, too. It's like, all right, let's go. Let's figure out how to fix me, you know? But then you realize that, like, he thought his was perfect, but it wasn't. And that came into play a lot too. But the problem was, is I can deal with conflict and move on. He sees conflict and he's like, oh God, it's over. You know, and he freaks out. So
it was like when we were dating, when we had our first fight, I was like, oh man, I really thought this relationship was going to work.
That's like, knowing you. Yes.
Well, bigger life. See ya.
But that's what probably the perfect family. That's what that was. That one of the things that maybe hurt your image was it wasn't perfect. So
yes,
we're done.
And I don't know if, you know, my parents I didn't see it. You know, was there conflict and stuff? Sure, of course there right. is in every relationship. But as a child, I never saw it. So I guess deep down, I never learned how to really deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
So in, you know, high school, college, all my relationships, never was there much conflict, maybe because I dated girls that didn't have those strong personalities. And then I married one that has a very strong personality. So,
but to answer your question, Mike, I was thinking about that. It is very scary when you think about how that all comes into play for kids. So like my oldest son, Caden, who's 9, is already not very touchy feely. Like me.
Mm.
So I go to therapy and we talk about it and it scares me. You know, I'm kind of right. like, oh no, how do I deal with this now? I already recognize that he's more like me. And is this something I need to deal with now? Is this like, I don't know the answer to
that. What does a therapist
say?
Like,
we haven't even really talked to him about it yet, okay. honestly. But we need to. But yeah, when I'm in therapy all the time, I will be in tears and they're like, what are you crying about? I'm like, I'm just thinking about my kids.
Yeah.
I think about my kids and I cry because
right.
it's like.
Well, you do the best you can as parents. And again, through therapy, you understand that. Like, no one blames their parents necessarily for maybe character defects or flaws that you might have now as an adult. But you understand that they do the best that they can. We do the best that we can. There's something going to happen. Something is going to happen with our children that we have no control over based off circumstances in life that we're trying to do our best, but we can't control every aspect.
Absolutely.
Are you trying to maybe be more touchy feely? That way they'll see that more with like Nick.
Yeah.
Because you're so emotionally connected to your kids, but right. you're just not as much.
Right. And
it's not that you don't love Nick. Obviously, you know, you guys have been together for a long time, but it's just, you know, that's again where you are like Mike in that aspect where right. the intimacy is mm-hmm. just not.
Oh yeah, for sure. There. And it's funny. The other day, Ramsey, our 2.5-year-old, like in the mornings, you know, we do kiss and I give her a kiss because Nick usually takes her to school. And now every morning, pretty much, she'll go, "Mommy, Daddy, kiss." And so she always, so she's yeah. recognizing it. Okay. You know, I don't know as much about the older. I don't know if because Kaden was the first, if maybe we weren't as conscious then, and he's not, or if that's just him and he's a boy and he's 9. I don't know.
Right.
Because Emmy is pretty. My 6-year-old, she's pretty affectionate. Mm-hmm. So
was he affectionate when he was younger?
Yeah, more, but he was always just kind of a boy and like wild, you know, mm-hmm. just kind of like didn't want to sit still, didn't want, you know, so it's yes, more than he is now.
But he is emotional. So it's not like, you know, he's not a kid that doesn't he does keep his emotions on his sleeve. So he's not that stereotypical boy that, you know, doesn't have emotions right. or mm-hmm. gets upset like
he's sensitive.
He's very sensitive.
Because how old's Rocco again?
He's 6.
He's 6. Okay. So do you notice a change because of the divorce?
I always explain him as a rubber band. He is a go with the flow kind of kid. He always has been. And he just was born with this super happy disposition where he just laughs and hugs and kisses. He's super loving. He's very sensitive though. Very, mm-hmm. his feelings get hurt really easy. But the divorce hasn't really affected him. He's asked a couple times, why do you guys live in different homes? And I explained to him, he has such a broad group of friends who have different experiences. Some of his friends just have a dad. Some of his friends just have a mom. Some of his friends have 2 dads. So, you know, it's been really helpful to explain to him that everyone's experience is so different. Mm-hmm. And he's really lucky to have a mommy and a daddy that he gets yeah. to spend yeah. time with. And he enjoys that. He loves it. So he's yeah, doing really that. Well. Thank you for asking.
Oh, good.
But I think
well,
as
I know,
boys
I know
get
that
older,
can be hard.
Yeah, it mm-hmm. can be. But they start to close up a little bit. They just do. They're boys.
And I think that's a good point, Jen. I think some of it is just biological
mm-hmm.
for years and years and years of these stereotypes holding true that it's like out of our control that a kid's going to be who they are to an extent. Yeah, parents can help mold who they become, but some of it's just out of our hands.
Right. Absolutely. So, Nick and Kat, do you believe in therapy so much that at some point you will include the kids or have them go to a therapist?
That's a good question. Yes. And when I say I don't love therapy, I actually do like therapy on my own. Mm-hmm. I have learned to love that. I don't love couples therapy. Let's preface that. Yeah, I do think that I would probably take my kids to therapy.
That's
but
cool.
At what age? It's like, so that's the thing that kind of worries me too, is too much therapy at a young age bad too? Like, is that...
I think that's tough. I think that's all you gauge it on how your child mm-hmm. is, but also you don't want to give them a complex thinking that they have to go to talk to somebody because they have an issue, quote unquote,
right? Mm-hmm.
right? You don't want to encourage that. It's more about if you see certain signs maybe and you're just like, hey, mommy and daddy both go to talk to a person, talk about feelings. If you don't feel comfortable talking to mom and dad, give them another outlet mm-hmm. If they're not communicating to us.
Especially at the tween and teen stage.
Yes, especially. Because that, it's great point, mm-hmm. Jen, too, because they're too cool to talk
yes,
to mom and dad.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, and I was going to say, too, with Kaden, he doesn't have a hard time talking about things, and he is very sensitive, like Nick said, and he's very sweet to his little sister. Like, aww. He's still very, mm-hmm. like, very huggy with her and, mm-hmm. you know, all that stuff. So I don't think it's necessarily an issue that we have to, like, address.
No.
But it is very interesting to see how your personality and how you are mm-hmm. moves on to the next generation.
But because you guys are doing therapy, Catherine, you guys are aware of that, okay, hey, I notice what's in myself and I'm not that intimate, touchy-feely. Let me just keep an eye on this with Katie. Let me observe it. So at least you guys can know. So if it, you know, manifests into something else, you can be on top of it.
Absolutely. And I actually told Nick the other day, I said, hey, I want you to be aware of this. And especially being dad to son, even though he is more, you know, he is more touchy-feely, he's not necessarily with Caden. So I was like, let's be aware and make sure that we're all being kind of sensitive to that.
Nick, question.
Yes, ma'am.
How do you deal with, because this is something that I have to deal with Mike, not having your needs met more on a more regular basis where you do want more of the touch, you do want more of the emotion, and having to kind of be like, okay, this is who this person is, and they're either A, trying, or this is just how it's going to, or do you set your expectations at a certain level, or?
Well, I mean.
Again, not saying that you, are Catherine or Mike have, because again, I have stuff, our issues too.
Yeah, so I don't look at it as issues anymore. It's just two different people in different perspectives, different just.
But it's when something, like, we need that so much. Like, that's such a part of us that, like, we need that connection and love and
intimacy. Your love languages.
Yeah.
Mainly, I guess there's two avenues that really work for me. One is kids. You know, getting some of that touch from your children. Just having a close relationship with them, cuddling with them, talking to them, that type stuff. And second is, you know, I made a commitment no matter what. Marriage to me is a commitment through and through, and you have your good times, your bad times, your better and your worse. And me and Catherine always talk about, this is my worst, this is my you said you'd love me through my worst, but
that's funny.
That's funny.
I think seeing the other side commit to trying is all you need.
So if there was a relationship where you saw that, you know, she wasn't trying, that's, and even though marriage is, you know, you're very religious and you have your values and your core, would that be something where you would just live with, or would you have to find your happiness elsewhere?
That's a very difficult answer.
Can't cross that bridge until you get to it.
That exactly.
But if you saw other people living that way, then you'd be like, okay, they're not trying. So, because a lot of people email us in and they say, you know, my husband just isn't trying. It's like, how can, if two people aren't trying, then how is it going to, or not working, how is it going to work?
Yeah, and that's the biggest issue. And I think that's why a testament to all four of our coupleship is that we see the other person trying it. And just like Catherine said, you know, I think when Jana and I first went to therapy, at the very, very beginning of our relationship, it was kind of to fix Mike, right? So I felt the same way. But then as you see the other person cleaning up their side of the street and we're doing ours, it's like you learn to come together by taking care of, you end up learning, you go to therapy not to fix the other person, but to fix yourself. And then you guys grow closer together.
And Jen, for you, he wasn't able to do that.
He wasn't invested in that.
So it's like, I mean, how could you live that way? You know,
I don't know how someone could.
Yeah.
You can't, when you're committed to growth, it's, you know, it becomes suffocate. You feel suffocated and you have to continue to grow. And sometimes the only way to help the other person grow is to change the situation.
That's true. But that was always the scariest thing. And I've told Catherine this a million times when I was in that weird up and down with Mike, whether is he really going to change, is he not? But I always feared that maybe if I did leave him, he would then be the person that he's going to be, that I wanted him to be, but that's going to jumpstart him to change. So it's whether or not you're going to hold on and enjoy the ride, or you know, maybe he gets it with someone else. So I don't know.
It's scary no matter what somebody decides.
It is.
Yeah.
You know Absolutely. What I mean? There's no right or wrong answer. It's obviously if someone's trying, it's easier to stay, but who knows?
You both have to be committed to growth.
That's true.
No
you
question.
Just do. Yeah.
You know what I'm going to ask you.
Don't.
Why do you call her the warden?
Oh! Ouch!
News to me.
Oh, Catherine, you knew that.
I mean, not really.
No?
Oh, no.
Whoops.
I mean, I'm not surprised.
But it goes back to the whole thing. Like, any guy, and we're making plans, it's like, hold on, let me ask the boss.
Absolutely.
How many guys say that? So it's just a different word.
I use a different word. A, you know me, like, I like to get a laugh.
Yeah.
And so when I throw that out there, nobody's ever really heard it. So they're like, I don't, let me ask the warden if I can go.
Which is fantastic. Which is absolutely fantastic.
Well, I know everybody's scared of me. That's been the latest, that all the guys are scared of me.
Yeah.
Apparently.
Well, because you're strong personality. But I will say this, what I love about Catherine and kind of our girl group is Nick isn't, not saying that they're not, the other guys aren't amazing husbands because they're good husbands, but like Nick is, you're one of the best husbands, you know, very close to my husband that out there. I mean, you help with the kids. You do the, like you're there.
Nick's been a great, even though we're like the same age, Nick's been a great role model for me to be a father on how interactive he is with the kids. That's true.
So I think the guys are scared of you because that's how it should be. You do know what I mean?
I make him do a lot of shit. And so they're afraid I'm going to tell their wives. Sorry. I'm going to tell their wives that they need to be doing.
It's different than that, though. Like, I don't know. She doesn't make me do anything. It's
no,
just,
no one can make anybody. But
I don't know. It's just I, you know, with what I do for a living and everything, I have time that a lot of 9-to-5 dads don't have. So
Nick is a realtor.
Ever since we've had kids, you know, I'm usually dropping them off at school or picking them up, or, you know, if Catherine gets off work late, then I need to have dinner made for the kid. You know, I'm not going to look at it and go, well, the wife's the one that makes the dinner while the kids are sitting there at the table like, what the hell? I'm hungry.
You're subjective to your environment.
Exactly.
You're adapting.
You adapt to the life you've chosen, and that's the cards that are dealt, and then it just becomes second nature.
Speaking of dinner, have you ever heard of Thrive Market?
I have not, but I'm interested to hear.
It's really great because it delivers right to your doorstep. And what's great about it, Catherine, too, is you know, you can get mac and cheese. So they have Annie's mac and cheese. I mean, they have really, it's healthy, living, easy, and affordable. So some of my favorite products in there that I get are the Annie's mac and cheese. I love Annie's products. It's really good for kids. It's the best-selling non-GMO foods and natural products, always at 25 to 50% below traditional retail value prices. So that's so good. Also, what I love, baby, we love the Myers, all the Myers.
Cleaning, oh, all the Myers stuff's fantastic.
The soap, the detergent, the stuff on the counters, the surface cleaners. And also, we get this really great non-hypoallergenic lotion for Jolie. So you can get anything from baby products to food to the best fresh meat and seafood. I mean, it's really, it's amazing high quality. More than 70% of the Thrive Market catalog cannot be found on Amazon, which I love Amazon. So this just makes me even happier. Keep in mind, Thrive Market's prices are already up to 50% off. And now they're giving an extra 25% off your first order, plus a free 30-day trial. Head to www.thrivemarket.com. That's Thrive, T-H-R-I-V-E, Market, MARKET.com/Jana. And that's 25% off your first order and free 30-day trial. So we have been doing relationship challenges. My favorite one was the strike.
But, how'd that go for you?
Not at all, because I didn't do it.
God.
It's too scary. But did you ask me what I needed last week? I don't think you did.
Did you ask me? What? Why are you just coming at me? Did you ask me what I needed?
I did.
Oh, when did you ask that?
I don't know the day, but I remember coming up.
Actually,
to
no, I did.
You.
I did ask that.
Did you?
Yeah, before we left out of town.
Because we still have to do our, even though we're saying it, we still have to do it.
No, I did. Ask you.
I don't think you did.
Before you left town.
Oh, I thought that was just a normal thing.
Just you guys are packing. Do you need anything?
Do you need anything? I don't know. Yeah.
No, it was, hey, while you're away, because still understandably so, like, you know, we're away from each other for a week. It can be triggering at times for Jana, and I want to make sure that she feels safe while she's away. And I had Jolie the whole time, but still, I never want to assume comfortability or anything like that. So I don't want her to think I'm being complacent. So I asked her if there's any additional things within the boundaries that we live in, if she needs anything.
Well, thank you, sweetie.
Wow.
So I did ask.
I wasn't that thorough or thoughtful.
Just because you weren't present for that moment doesn't mean I didn't ask.
Thanks, babe.
You're welcome.
Appreciate it. Nick, I'm going to let you pick our relationship challenge this week. Do you have something that you can think of?
How about this? Love languages. Yeah. Everybody has different love languages.
Right?
Catherine's is gifts.
Uh-huh.
So how about just a gift that you know your spouse would appreciate?
Oh, that's
just
good.
A random...
Oh, I love that.
Mm.
And it doesn't have to be, it could just be...
Something.
Just anything.
Anything.
Flowers
it could
to
be
a card
hard.
To...
Yeah, I love that. That'd be great.
It's a good one.
There you go.
That is a good one. Ooh, honey, okay, I want a... No, I'm kidding. All right, so the relationship challenge. Yeah. The relationship challenge of the week, we're going to, because Catherine, her... That sounds so bad that your number one is gifts. Sorry.
Why, you don't shame her over her love language. How dare you? Catherine, I'm going to come to your defense because you and I are like the same.
No,
I'm not saying not gifts and love language.
It's just gifts.
That is your number one, though.
Gifts.
I don't even remember.
Words of affection?
Time.
No.
Time? Quality time?
Quality time.
Acts of service, I think.
Acts of service, that's it.
I think it's yours is gifts, acts of service, and then...
I thought you're more quality time because you like doing things as a family and...
Yeah, that too.
That's third. From theme park.
That's third. That's after the gifts and after the after you do the dishes and buy her a gift. She likes the quality time. Gotcha.
Then you get quality time.
No, I'm not a terrible person.
No, you do not.
I have to earn her love.
And then I have a good one for next week's. Then it's to the other person's.
So this week it's the husband for the spouse.
No. This week is you just give your either a spouse, partner, whatever. You give them a nice little gift, just because gift, which is so sweet. But then the next week after that, it'll be what their number one is. So you would love me more better that week.
Stay tuned for next week.
And Catherine, are you ready for that one? She's like, oh, I didn't listen to that
podcast. Catherine and I are like,
I'm going to be like texting her and be like, Jana's podcast is on.
I will. hey, wait, did you hear the challenge this week? Did you hear the challenge?
Hold my hand.
You have 7 days. 7 days.
Yeah, that's what I love, though, about this dynamic, like Jana started off with, is that it is just a little different than most stereotypes. But I've personally loved it because Catherine's like the only one to be friends that has been able to understand aspects of me more.
Well, I'll never forget the text message, you know, because, you know, Catherine was there with me when we found out about everything. And she's been there for me through the lowest of lows with our stuff. And I mean, with everything, really. But, you know, I'll never forget the text message that she sent me. And she said, I never realized how much I could actually relate to Mike and the things that's basically what we said, right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
And I was like, what? I remember just screenshotting it and like, look what Catherine just said.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, at first it's almost, you know, we all kind of judged him. And then you realize that there are actually similar issues that you guys.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, I look back and some of the things I had to say at the time when I was angry.
Which anybody would.
Right. You know, I can definitely see things differently now. For sure. Absolutely.
Thanks, Catherine.
Wow.
See, I can be emotional.
I love you, big fella.
Yeah. There's a new podcast that Jan and I have been excited about and been listeners of. It's 23andMe. I'm trying to work here. Can you mind? 23andMe has a new podcast called Spit. Do you ever feel like you are more divided than ever? If you're tired of hearing about all the things that separate us, you have to check out Spit, a new podcast from iHeartRadio and 23andMe, where they explore all things DNA and how we are all 99.5% genetically alike.
Does that mean we're like siblings then?
Ipso facto, we're siblings. Host Baratunde Thurston sits down with the biggest artists, including Pete Wentz and Mike Posner, and influencers of our time to talk about how the world of genetic teasing is changing who we are and the world around us. They explore a variety of important topics, such as how science stacks up against the stories we've been told, how much nature versus nurture impacts who we become, the modern definition of family, genetics and race, outsmarting our genes, and a whole lot more. Make sure to check out full episodes on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Okay, so I am so excited to have Grocery Store Joe and Jenna in studio.
All right.
Woo! Woo! I love you guys.
Thank you.
First of all, I mean, Grocery Store Joe. So,
I mean, he has a last name. Is that what just everyone calls you? You just have to go by that now?
Yeah, everybody calls me Grocery Store Joe. But my last name is Amabile. People have a hard time pronouncing it.
No, Grocery Store Joe.
Okay, there you go. It's cool.
It's cool. So, honey, did you watch the first?
Yeah. So, you know, I always watch the first couple, and then I'm like, all right, this is your thing.
Yeah, that's true. But remember, so Grocery Store Joe, sorry, Joe, I'm blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, he got, whatever. Call me whatever you want.
He got voted off the first night.
I know. Such a sad night.
So,
but now look at him.
Did that just, like, break your heart? like to be, were you just like, please don't be the first guy. Please don't be the first guy to be voted off.
Oh, on Bachelor?
Yeah.
It didn't really break my heart. It was it was a little embarrassing. I wasn't, you know.
Well, he didn't sign up for it, so we just got to get that clear. He was like found in a Whole Foods. And so,
stop.
Right, I was reading that.
Yeah, well, yeah, I was walking through Whole Foods and they're like, hey, are you single? I'm like, yeah. She was like, you want to try out for The Bachelor? And I thought they wanted me to try out for the lead. So I'm like, yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, absolutely. You get 24 women? Sure.
And then next thing I know, I was in LA and not getting a rose that first night. It was embarrassing. I didn't think anything was ever going to happen.
Who was it that came up to you and asked you that?
I think they sent scouts out to bigger cities.
Grocery stores?
Yeah. I mean,
Whole Foods.
Yeah.
So every Whole Foods across the country.
Yeah. Probably.
That's funny.
But you actually own a grocery store in Chicago, right?
I used to. I don't anymore. Now I'm just a dancer, you know.
Well, so. Okay. So let's transition. You have one of the sweetest partners of all time.
Aww.
Jenna, I had the privilege of being able to be on one of the seasons that Jenna was on. And Jenna, you're just a genuinely nice girl.
You're so sweet.
And you wear your heart on your sleeve, and I'm so happy that, you know, you're engaged. And
thank
you're
you.
Just like, I look at your Instagram, yours and Val's, and you just exude happiness, and it's so beautiful to see, cuz just
thanks,
you deserve all the love that's coming your way.
You're so sweet. Thank you so much.
But how is it? Obviously, you guys are getting lower scores.
Yeah.
On dancing.
Yeah. Really?
People.
What?
I didn't know that.
No, you know, it's hard, obviously, because, I mean, week three, someone was getting a perfect score, and we're, like, still rocking in fives. But it's, you know, I think it's to be expected. We are that underdog couple, and I'm fine with that. You know, we have to work harder than everyone, I think. We're putting in so many hours because it is new for Joe. But I'm so down because he shows up every day with a smile on his face, and he's like, all right, just tell me what to do this week. And he's down to do all of it. And that's the hard thing is, you know, the packages on the show, it's only like a minute package. And so you don't get to see the 7 days that we put in of blood, sweat, and tears. And he just keeps doing it. So I'm so proud of him. And I think we're that, like, cute comic relief in the middle of the show.
Keep throwing us right in the middle.
Yeah.
Just stick him in the middle.
But we're still here.
I know. Well, that's what's so amazing. I mean, do you ever feel bad? Like, does it hurt your feelings sometimes that they can be a little hard on you? Or are you just kind of enjoying it no matter what?
No, it doesn't hurt my feelings. I enjoy
it. Really?
Yeah, it doesn't. I mean, I enjoy the entire process except for the minute and 50 I have to dance. but it's, I don't know. I mean, I can only try my hardest. And it's, I feel like I am getting better, but the dances are getting longer. So it's just harder to, you know, like that first dance was 50 seconds. The last one was a minute and 50. So it's hard not to make any mistakes out there. It really is, because I'm just not a good dancer. but, you know, we're trying.
Yeah. But that's what the show at the end of the day is about, you know, is the growth, the journey, and somebody learning how to dance. So.
Absolutely. Joe, how's this whole ride been for you? I mean, you've gone from The Bachelorette to Bachelor in Paradise to Dancing with the Stars. I mean, do you have anything coming up lined up next for you, or are you just kind of riding the wave right now?
Yeah, it's been pretty surreal. Me and Kendall are going to probably start our own YouTube channel. We're going to try to travel around, you know, eat.
You found love in all of this. I mean,
yeah,
this
look
is
at
so
that.
Great.
And I'm learning how to dance. So going to be going. No, but it's you know, I wouldn't trade it in for the world. So
I mean, no other contestant that it was voted off first has had this. What's that word? Like reception? No.
Just this following,
yeah.
I mean, behind it.
Well, that's
and what
the,
I say,
that's
go,
the crazy
no, ahead,
thing
Jenna.
Is, I think people forget that, like, he was living his normal life for 32 years, and then overnight he became Grocery Store Joe sensation. Like,
I didn't even have Instagram. I didn't have Instagram.
He didn't have social media.
I didn't have.
And now
Instagram.
You have like what, a million followers or something crazy like that?
Almost,
like, yeah, seven. Something.
Yeah, I mean that's. I mean, and again, nobody ever. In the history of all the Bachelor, Bachelor in Paradises, who have been voted off first, became a grocery store judge.
You know, I will say, and this is completely off of no fact or anything, just my own opinion is, and I don't know, Joe, I don't know you, but I make up that you're very genuine, very true, nice, authentic person. And so I think I make up that that's why the country kind of fell in love with you, is that you're just happy to be here every day. And there's no sense of, you know, entitlement or anything that even, again, I've only seen you on these shows and stuff like that. I don't get that vibe from you. Mm-hmm. And I'm a big skeptic. So if the rest of the country doesn't, like, I can definitely see why they fall in love with you, man.
Yeah, I think a lot of people can relate. And I think even with dancing, like, most people can't dance ballroom.
Right.
So, I mean, they understand that it's, you know, I'm not a performer. I never was. So it's so difficult. And I get so nervous right before we go out there. So,
I mean, Joe, what if you won this freaking show?
I mean,
I think there's a chance we could win. I think I'll be the worst dancer ever, but
here's the thing. That's what was so frustrating when you go on Dancing with the Stars, and that's what it's supposed to. I love the people that don't have any dance experience. When you see the athletes, and it's like their bodies are going to be better for this or that, being able to move. And this is what it's about. Someone who has no dance training, who is just going out there and just living it up, you know?
Yeah, because people
my
get
limbs are everywhere. I'm kicking all over.
Well, I love Joe, and he knows this, and I'll say it to his face, but he is by far the most uncoordinated person I've ever met in my whole entire life.
That's not entirely true.
It is true. But he's overcoming it, and he's becoming more coordinated. And seriously, I cannot believe that he gets out there and he dances every week. Like, I can't believe it. It's amazing. I'm so proud of him.
That's so funny. And I think that's a huge testament to, like, you, Jenna, and to the other pros on what you guys are able to do with these, you know, stars that come in, what Gleb was able to do with Jana, what you're able to do with Joe. I think that's a testament to
what Sharna's doing with Bobby.
Sharna's doing with Bobby, like what you guys are able to do and how skilled you all are to teach such an intricate dance and routine to these people who have never danced before. I don't think people give you guys enough credit, because that's fascinating.
Well, thank you. Yeah, it is a minor panic attack every week, but yeah.
I'm sure.
I mean, at the end of the day, though, would you have wanted, like, would you have loved someone? Okay.
Take Joe a million times over again, because.
Good answer.
No, but it's true. We have the best time every day, and we've become really good friends. We have, like, a weird random connection. I think it's because we're born on the same day. We have the same birthday.
Oh,
and then,
wow.
Very cool.
We just have a great, awesome friendship. And so I would not trade this experience for the world. So, yeah. Having Joe as my partner has been awesome.
Jenna's all right.
Well,
no, she's
okay. Thinking your lucky stars, boy. You got her.
Yeah,
she
does. She's made it very enjoyable.
I love it. Well, thank you guys so much for coming on the show. You guys give it up for Grocery Store Joe and Jenna.
Yay! Thank you. Good luck, guys.
I'm on Dancing with the Stars. I just really love the fact that Jenna said that she is happy with. Because I know, like, when I was in the season, people were like, oh, right. The worst dance partner. But again, when you see someone that's really trying and shows up, I feel like that'd be better than just having someone that
I'm sure
knows everything.
Despite how successful a couple is on the show, I think it's the day-to-day, I'm sure, is what makes that experience that much better. Because again, people don't know the behind the scenes, how many hours you guys spend together.
Right.
Like, just going over these routines, you know, all day.
Yeah. So, I just am so happy. I'm just happy for Jenna personally, too. And then, again, like, no other contestant has ever had that kind of reaction.
No, again, I really believe that's a testament to his character and that he's that real of an authentic and nice person.
I was shocked she didn't keep him when on the show, because I remember, I'm like, he's cute, you know?
Yeah,
he's not.
Absolutely.
And he seemed nice. So I was always very confused that she sent him home first.
Well, look at him now, baby.
I know.
Last laugh.
I feel like everyone now that's going to be on the next Bachelor, they just want to be like first off and then make the bigger name for themselves.
No one can do it. And that's the thing. He didn't even try. Like, he didn't do anything to try to do that. He was just himself. He was just a guy that showed up. That's awesome.
I'm going
to
vote for them now because I like them. Well, sorry. I'll vote for them and Bobby. There you go.
Fair enough.
All right, I want to give some big thank yous to all the sponsors today on the show. Big thank you to brooklinen.com is giving an exclusive offer just for my listeners. Get $20 off and free shipping when you use promo code Jana at brooklinen.com. FabFitFun, go to FabFitFun.com to sign up and start getting the box for a life well lived. Use promo code Jana to get $10 off your first box. Talkspace, to match with the perfect therapist, Nick, for a fraction of the price of traditional therapy, go to Talkspace.com/Jana and use the code Jana to get $45 off your first month. Head to www.thrivemarket.com. That's Thrive, Thrive Market, MARKET.com/Jana, and 25% off your first order and free 30-day trial. And also a huge thank you to 23andMe, their new Spit podcast. Make sure to check out full episodes now on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you listen to podcasts. This was a great show, guys. I love you very much.
Love you.
Oh, my God. Nick is wearing my shirt.
Ah, I was wondering.
It makes an appearance about once a year.
I love it.
Now you can put it back in the closet for another year.
Thanks for having us.
Love you guys.
Thanks for being here.
Love you.
Do, 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 do.